The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, team, for leading us this morning. How are we? You guys going to make me work for it today, I see. Good morning and welcome. If you're newer to Summit, we're glad that you're here. I think it's a really good time for you to be here with the conversation that we are going to start today. And Lord willing, we'll extend the next two Sundays. As Kyle mentioned in the video, we're going to take the next 3 weeks to talk about Vision 2030, a 12-year vision that we as elders and pastoral team began to pray about and put before the people of Summit back in 2018. And a lot of people go, well, why 12 years? Why put something out like that? And what I would say to that is this: our desire has never been to try to dictate to God what we thought he should do. It's never been this attempt to go, we know what God is going to do and how he is going to do it. It's just been this desire to prayerfully consider, what does he desire for his church that we do know clearly from Scripture, and what does he desire for his mission in those sovereign places that he's called his church to live in and have influence in? And then let's pray with open hands towards those things, that if God would, amongst us in this particular geography, and by God's grace, the other three congregations that make up Summit, and those God-given geographies, that if God would, with the cooperation of his people, by his Spirit, what might he do in and through us in this time in history to see gospel presence, gospel accessibility for the sake of every man, woman, and child? Now, I say all of that to say this. Here we are now, 5 years in to expressing this vision, and we stand before you. I stand before you on this day. We have continued prayerful expectancy towards the very things that we started praying back in 2018. God has been faithful to answer very tangible prayers that we have prayed. And we're going to talk about some of the prayers that God has answered over the last 2 years this morning. We're going to celebrate that. I'm actually going to ask you to kind of lean in this morning, because we're going to get to a point to celebrate, and then hopefully you're going to help me collectively do that. But at the same time, we're still asking. We're still asking and believing God to do specific things in and through our church. So what I want to acknowledge this morning as I stand up here before you is that God has been faithful, God is faithful, God will continue to be faithful to us. And we don't want to just acknowledge that. We want to pause and think and reflect on and be reminded of those tangible ways, while also acknowledging the work is not complete. God's mission of redemption is not over. It has not reached its final destination. If I could say it more clearly like this: we have things that we need to grow in as a church. And we're going to talk about some of those things over the next couple weeks. I believe there's tangible steps that this congregation needs to take with God's help, by his grace, in the weeks, months, and years to come, for us to be better positioned to join God in what he's doing in this part of the upstate. And that's really what this series is about. Okay, God, you have been faithful to us, but it's this honest look of, this is where we are. Where are you taking us? Where are you leading us? So this morning is really the focus is about why the mission matters. We want to lay before you this reminder of what is paramount to why we are even here. why we even exist as a church. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about what does it actually mean to be formed for mission. When we say we are a people to be formed for the mission of God, what does that mean? We're going to seek to lay before you some very clear values that are integral for us as a church that we believe defines that. And then week three, in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about best as we can, we're going to define how we are seeking to be formed for mission together. How do we envision that looking, a pathway, if you will, for formation collectively together as a church? And then week three, we're going to lay out a fivefold invitation that we want each of you to prayerfully consider committing to. And truthfully, many of you are already living into these five things that we're going to put before you, clearly articulate, and then lovingly invite you into. And we want to be clear about them so we can be unified around our common mission. Now, before we jump into our text, I want to just put a few things before you that I want you to keep in mind over the next 3 weeks. Number one, we typically teach through books of the Bible here at Summit. So if you're just kind of jumping in with us and you go, well, is this kind of series, is this common? No, it's not really common. We're typically working our way slowly and methodically through books of the Bible. September, the first Sunday in September, we're going to start a study in the book of 1 Timothy, and it'll take us through the end of the year. So we're excited about that. That's typical. That's normal for us. And so just want you to be aware of that. Number two, I want you to think of these 3 weeks more like a family talk. Who has kids in the room? A lot of us have kids in the room. Hey kids, come down for dinner. We're going to have dinner and we're going to have a family talk. I want you to think about these 3 weeks as a family talk. We're going to talk practically about this current moment in the life of our church. So when we have a family talk, Tristan and I with our kids, like we try our best, man, to celebrate the things that our kids are doing great in. We want to celebrate where we see God at work, and we also want to inform. This is where we're headed. This is the things that we need to address. We want to remind, this is family dynamic. These are family values. This is who you are. And then part of our family talk is calling our kids upward. We see this in you, but we think there's more. And that's really what I want you to, how I want you to view the next 3 weeks. Some of you are going to be informed about who we are. Some of you are going to be reminded about who we are. And some of you, maybe all of us, are going to receive this invitation by God's grace to be called upward, to consider our part in what God is doing. And I would just say this to those of you who are newer to Summit. I really do believe this is a great time to be here. I think these three Sundays is a great time for you to be in the room to hear us talk about who we are. So stick around, journey with us, and see a little bit more clearly how we are seeking to live. Can I take a moment and just celebrate tangibly some of the ways God's been faithful over the last 2 years? And would you celebrate with me as we talk about these things? I'll be brief. 2 years ago, we started praying some tangible things in light of those five distinctives, and I'm just going to list some of the ways God has answered those prayers. Over 75 people over the last year and a half, have completed the My Circle training to be better equipped to share the gospel with those God has placed in and around their lives. We have engaged in intentional community outreach in every one of our circles of accountability over the last 18 months. Again, we're going to be talking more about what this is going to look like in the weeks to come. Right now, we're just celebrating God's faithfulness. With the help of some of our volunteers and a partner church, we redesigned our Every Child initiative and currently have $20,000 available to strategically invest in foster care, adoption, global orphan care, and even more. 70 people have been baptized through the congregations and ministries of Summit over the last 18 months. God is at work more than we realize, and He is doing that in and through the people that call Summit home. Over 130 people in the last 2 years have participated in the discipleship and leadership training of the Upstate Church Collective. The very first UCC, Upstate Church Collective Church Plant, is launching this month, Redemption Life Fellowship in Greenville. And if the Lord allows us to, we, by His grace, will see 2 to 3 more church plants, autonomous, like-minded churches planted across the upstate within the next 2 to 3 years. Our current mission partnerships and 135 partnerships are healthy and growing. We're coaching and supporting several church plants around the U.S., and we've just added recently 2 new global partners to our partnerships. God is providing through your generosity with great intentionality. And then just to kind of sum up some things that we've been seeing God do amongst our leadership, I'm going to need to give a little bit of context for what I'm going to share with you. We've seen God just tremendously grow and expand our staff team in order to be better strategically positioned to fulfill the mission that He's given to us. Next month, we hope to present 2 new non-staff elder candidates to you for affirmation. And in addition, the Lord has opened the door to bring on 2 new pastors to our staff team that are going to strategically serve at Cherrydale, our Cherrydale congregation, and 1 right here in Simpsonville. So before I kind of introduce what that means right here in Simpsonville, let me give you a little bit of backdrop to better understand how we've been praying. In January of this year, we get our leaders away once a year. Leaders across all 4 congregations, it's about 125, 130 people leading in various capacities throughout Summit. So in January, we invited all of our leaders to join us in praying for the challenging but necessary restructuring of our staff team. If you've been around Summit the last 2 years, you've heard us talk about the necessity to restructure some things with our team. Now, part of that was the current financial reality that we have been walking through as a church. But that's just a really small piece of why we've needed to restructure. We believe that we needed to restructure in strategic ways so that we could be positioned to equip 4 congregations in the specific areas that they had the greatest need. Now, 2 implications of this prayer regarding our restructuring of our staff team would be significant and necessary support for Kyle Estep, the guy on the screen just a few moments ago, and myself here in Simpsonville. Kyle and I both have carried a congregational and central role at Summit. So what that means is my primary responsibility is a congregational pastor here in Simpsonville, but also carrying a role of vision, partnership, organization, and leadership for all 4 congregations alongside of Kyle. And so in addition to this prayer was, what if, as the elders were praying, what if we could see the Lord bring on pastoral support that would help us thrive better as a congregation and then thrive better and have health and vitality as a central team? Well, the first answer to that prayer was adding a congregational pastor at Summit Cherrydale, and the Lord answered that prayer this summer, and we've hired Jody Bowser, who began in July, as the new congregational pastor in Cherrydale. The second prayer was that the Lord would bring someone alongside of me to serve in this capacity alongside of me, so that I could have support here and at the central level. And the Lord has also answered that prayer. So I'm excited to inform you that God has answered the prayer of bringing on Jared Boyd as the new spiritual formation pastor at Summit. And his role is going to be primarily discipleship, pastoral care, and teaching. I'm still continuing in my current role to serve and walk the journey with you. Jared is coming to assist and support me with you. I think he has giftings and functions that will better serve us as a congregation, and I'm incredibly excited about the prospect of adding him to our team. In fact, Lord willing, next week we're going to introduce Jared and his family to you. Megan and 3 precious children that are moving from Atlanta, Georgia, In fact, the big U-Haul that you see out here is theirs. They closed in their home this week, and they're ready to jump in with us. And this is going to be a beautiful partnership with the Upstate Church Collective and Summit. I'll talk more about that next week. But I'm excited to bring that before you. These are tangible things that we have been praying as an elder team for 2 years, brought our leaders in January, and God has now answered our prayer. Those are just a few of the tangible ways under the five distinctives we've seen God at work. So can I just pause right there and we take a moment and celebrate God's faithfulness? I'm excited to introduce Jared, Megan, their three children, Lord willing, next week. And then we'll continue to talk about what does it look like to welcome them into our midst? And then what does our partnership look like for the sake of God's mission through this local congregation? So one of the things I hope that you see through these prayers and God's faithfulness to answer these prayers is this active reminder. It does indeed take each man, woman, and child to reach every man, woman, and child. That God's intent from the very beginning has always been that he would use all of Christ's people, the church, to bear witness to who he is and all that he has done. I know that was a long introduction. If you have a Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 is where we're going to be. 2 Corinthians 5. And I want to take just a few moments and focus our attention in on why the mission matters. This is foundational. If we're going to talk about philosophy of ministry and methodology of ministry and what do things look like around Summit, why do we do certain things and why do we not do certain things and what specific areas do we need to grow in, we're going to talk about those things. But before we talk about any of those things, we've got to be clear on this. What is the foundation for why we exist? The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the Christians in the city of Corinth. Corinth was an incredibly vibrant city. It was a trade center, a major seaport, but it was filled with idolatry and immorality. If you've never read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you should read it because you would see that. And here Paul is writing to a group of people, man, he loves immensely. And in writing to them, he's lovingly addressing their sin. He's addressing the suffering that they're walking through and the confusion. The people in Corinth are confused about a multitude of things. All the while, Paul is drawing their attention back to the heart of the matter, the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel. And it was a timely word. When we arrive at 2 Corinthians 5, this was a timely word for these people. And I believe in this moment, it's a timely word for you and me. Because we continually need to be reminded that God is at work in our lives. I don't know if this is true of you. No, I do know this is true of you. I know that you, like me, are prone to forget the ways in which God is presently at work. I know how easy it is for life and circumstance to believe that God's not up to something. I know how easy it is to buy into the lie of the enemy that God no longer is doing what we once saw God do because we can't feel that or sense that or put our hand on that God somehow is removed from that. And in many ways, that's where these people are, and they need to be reminded. No, God's mission is still intact. God is still presently at work in the lives of his people, in the city of Corinth, filled with idolatry and immorality, and he is on a mission of redemption throughout the world. So what I would submit to you this morning and why we come back to this again and again and again is we need the ongoing reminder of why the mission matters. And as Paul confronts sin, as Paul confronts the confusion, the cultural pressing in of all of these ideologies, he brings the one thing that they need to be reminded of, the good news of the gospel and its intended destination, despite what's going on in the culture. So if I could answer really clearly for you from the outset, why the mission matters, here's why the mission matters. This is what I want you to grab hold of. The mission matters because God has reconciled us to himself for relationship and representation. The mission of God immensely matters to you individually, to us collectively as a church, because God has reconciled us to himself for relationship and representation. Look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So these opening words in this final section of chapter 5 are incredibly profound. God has done a mighty work in salvation, Paul says. I love what one commentator notes. He says, what God does for us in Jesus Christ and through the work of the Spirit is a complete recreation. God doesn't just make you a little bit better. No, God transforms us in and through Christ. It's a completely new life. It's every category of our existence utterly transformed, utterly made new. Look at verse 18. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and he gave us, those who have been reconciled to God, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God is reconciling a people to himself, and he's the one doing it all. Now, reconciliation, it means to restore friendship or harmony. It is to make things right between two or more persons. So what I don't want you to miss is this. Reconciliation is a defining mark of what God is up to in our lives. Like the New Testament, it never talks about God being reconciled to the world. You go, well, why is that important? Why is that so significant? Because God's attitude towards us was and is love. It is grace upon grace. It always speaks of the world being reconciled to God. He made the first move. God made the initiative to restore what you and I, through the sin of one man and one woman, what we severed with our sinfulness. And so he looked upon the obedience of his son that he might forgive our disobedience so that you and I could become sons and daughters. So that there can now be peace where there was war and enmity. Now think about that for a moment, because for a lot of us in the room, there's the tendency and the propensity to kind of forget about that, to get a little blind to the reality of what God has done to reconcile us to himself. Think about that for a moment. Think about your story of grace. Think about what God has done to reconcile you to himself. You did not know him. You did not love him. You did not enjoy him. You did not follow him. You did not reflect anything close to what his character reflects. But he met you where you were. And he changed you. He forgave you. He restored you. He brought you into the family as a son or daughter. And now he calls you beloved. He enjoys you. One of the things the Lord has spoken to me time and time again this summer, he actually wants to be with you. He loves you. Like, we need to sit with that. We need to soak in that. We need to be reminded of that. But that's not all. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I grew up in the church. I've been in the church since the age of four. I think a lot of my experience with the church, and if I don't know, maybe this is wrong. Maybe this is an overgeneralization. That's a really hard word to say, evidently. Is that the church in the West usually stops here. At least that's my experience. It's just about what God has done for you. And that's a remarkable, remarkable truth that we need to grab hold of. But it's not even close to being the full picture of what he's done. In a surprising way, what Paul brings us in on here is that God not only recreates us and reconciles us to himself through Christ, but he entrusts the ministry and the message of reconciliation to us. You go, well, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. The ministry of reconciliation is this. In Christ, God is not counting our sins against us. Is that good news this morning? We all need to hear that. Be reminded of that. And because of what Christ has done for us, we are now invited to actively participate with him in extending to the world, extending to those that we come in contact with, extending to those that we live with, have influence with, the same kind of renewal that we have experienced in Christ. That what you and I share in the Father and the Son and the Spirit, that we get to serve for the good of others and their sake, that they too might be reconciled to this God. That's the ministry that God in his sovereignty, in his kindness, has entrusted to us. To who, Terry? To the church? Absolutely. To us. Which means who? It means you and you and you and you and you and you and you, every one of you. It means all of us. But it's also the message of reconciliation. Here's the message of reconciliation. In Christ, God is making his appeal through us. The genius of God is this, that he intended to further his work of redemption and reconciliation through his people, the church. I don't get that. I really don't get that. I wrestle with that often in my own life. But in God's kindness and sovereignty, he is making his appeal to the world through the transformation of our lives. That's what he says. We are his ambassadors. We are proclaiming that God has declared peace at the cross through the willing sacrifice of his Son to all who believe and place their faith and trust in Jesus. That is exactly what we mean when we say relationship and representation. That God has chosen the demonstration and declaration of the gospel in this city, in this community, across the upstate of South Carolina, on your street corner, where you live, where you work, where you go to school, where you interact, that it would go through and in you and me. If I could press in there for a moment, maybe I could say it this way. We are not alive today primarily for our jobs. We are not alive today primarily to make good money or money in general. Nothing wrong with making good money. Nothing wrong with living. Not saying that. We are not alive today primarily for our jobs, our money, our pleasures, our hobbies, or even our relationships. We are alive today because either God desires to know you and reconcile you to himself, or because God has already reconciled you to himself and is now calling you to be his representation where he sovereignly, placed you. And here's the thing, for the vast majority of us in this room, that's right here in this region of the upstate of South Carolina. Simpsonville, Greenville, the surrounding regions of the upstate. It's not an accident that you and I are alive today and that we live where we live. At this point in time in history, that you live on the street that you live on, that you, your neighbors are who they are, who your kids interact with and play ball with, all of those things, it's not by accident. We could have been born 500 years ago in an unnamed village across the globe. And that's why God in his sovereignty has called some people to go so that they could go and tell and declare and have the ministry of reconciliation in those places. But for most of us in this room, God has set you and me apart for himself right now for this very purpose. And that very purpose is this, to be in relationship with God. Please hear me. To be in relationship with God, to grow in your relationship with God, to help other people grow in their relationship with God, so we might collectively reflect and image forth that relationship to those who have yet to be reconciled to God. That is why the church exists. And it's why the mission matters. Like I want to be sure that you and I are considering the implications of this for our lives. What if you and I are the means by which God designed the gospel to be made accessible to those who live in this city, in this region of the upstate? Let's make it even more personal. What if you are the means by which God has designed the gospel to be accessible to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to the people that you interact with? That maybe, just maybe, the family you are a part of, maybe, just maybe, the neighborhood you live in, the place you work, the people you go to school with, the friends you're connected to, the strangers you meet, maybe, just maybe, every place you have been given influence and relationship, God meant for you to be there. For what purpose? You have a message and you have a ministry. And I believe one of the greatest challenges for the Big C Church in America, in the West, I believe that challenge is not relevancy. I believe that challenge is this: will our message and ministry be made accessible to people where they actually live and do life? That's the challenge. And here's the thing, I'm not talking about accessibility in terms of you and I coming to a place like this. I'm not just talking about buildings. And thank God for this place. Thank God for this footprint. Our view of this place is that this is the gathering of where people come, living in their God-ordained spheres of influence, living out the sake of the mission, learning to live that out, learning to grow. And we come in this place and we're reminded of God's faithfulness. We're mutually equipped. We're mutually encouraged. And we're sent out into our places with a message and a ministry. I'm not talking about that accessibility. I'm talking about accessibility in terms of you and I believing that our lives are playing out on the canvas of time and history right where God intended. You go, well, what does that look like? What does accessibility look like? I think accessibility is this. When we realize that our ever-growing relationship with God is not just about us and God. It's about what God is doing in us for the sake of those who don't know him. Accessibility is when we live transformed lives and verbally articulate the good news of what God has done for us in Christ in such a way that our family members and our neighbors and our coworkers and our classmates and our friends and even strangers we come into contact with all have repeated opportunities to see the ministry of reconciliation and to hear the message of reconciliation where they live a new life. This is why the mission matters. It matters now. It matters regardless of the cultural trends that sweep through each generation. There is nothing that will surpass the significance of God's mission through His church. Nothing will sway it. No global crisis, no political agenda. No matter how far the church is pushed beyond the fringes of society, please hear me. God is reconciling a people to Himself for relationship and representation. That's what He's up to. That's what He's doing. And I want to just take a moment and ask you to consider a few things as our team comes and prepares to lead us in a time of reflection and response. Can I ask you to consider a few things with me this morning? Where were you when the good news of Jesus first came to you? Go with me there for a moment. Let me ask it more specifically. How did the gospel become accessible to you? Who told you? Who lived out the character and the competencies of Jesus before you? Who made it accessible to you that you could see it? That you could see in them something different? That you could kind of press against it and ask the questions. How did it become accessible to you? I want you to think about your story, because we all have different stories of how we come into faith. Consider who and how did it become accessible. And maybe, just maybe, one of the things that we can do this week that I think would spur and edify the body of Christ is this. What if you reached out to that individual this week who declared good news to you, who lived out good news before you, and just thank them for their faithfulness? What if you wrote them? What if you wrote them a card? What if you sent them a text? What if you actually dialed the number? They're no longer with us. What if you actually wrote a family member of that individual and just said, I'm thinking about so-and-so today. And I just want you to know, I would not be where I'm at today had they not made the gospel accessible to me. Maybe a step for us to take is to embrace the ministry of encouragement and to consider someone, some group of people made good news accessible to us. We ought to be grateful people for that. Secondly, is the gospel becoming accessible through your life? Through your voice to those around you who have yet to be reconciled to God? That one's a hard one, isn't it? Are you guys with me? Yeah? Would you be willing and honest in this moment? Not shame, not condemning in any way, but to ask the Lord, what would it look like for me to take a step in my journey of faith with you to embrace the ministry that you've given to me and to begin to be willing to open my mouth to declare good news to those who have yet to meet you? So part of that is going, Lord, this is where I'm at. That's what we talked about last week, honesty before God. Unless we're willing to go there with him, we're going to keep suppressing and spiraling deeper into suffering, into shame, into guilt, into condemnation. But maybe a tangible step you can take when it comes to making the gospel accessible is to consider, who has God placed in your path? Begin to pray for them by name. Begin to pray for them by name. Put in this phone right here a reminder every day. This time, 10 a.m., and I'm going to take 60 seconds, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to pray for them by name. I'm going to lift them by name. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that until God moves my heart to go beyond praying for them, to move towards them, so that I could live out the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Here's my final thing to consider. Since God is reconciling a people to himself, and his primary vehicle to accomplish this mission is his church, how does this truth shape the way you think about us as a church? If God's primary vehicle is his church, Big C Church, all of Christ's people in all places, that has representation in every sphere, every geography, localized, imperfect expressions, that would be this church. How does that truth that you've been given the ministry and the message of reconciliation, how does that change the way you think of us and engage with us? It should shape it significantly, in a significant and profound way. So as we bow our heads and close our eyes this morning and we contemplate why the mission matters, would you be willing to ask the Lord to give you perspective on us? On us. Because here's the thing. My guess is all of you've got critiques about us. I've got critiques about us. Is that okay? That I've got critiques about us? That I can be honest about the gaps that I think I see? And I'm sure you and many of you have lovingly been honest about the gaps you see. But here's the thing. We can talk about the gaps all day. And we should. We should have open dialogue about where we need to grow in student ministry. That's one of the areas we need to grow. And one of the areas that we're going to speak to. Community and equipping and engagement in our circles. Listen, all things we want to be lovingly honest about. But here's the thing. It'll take the collective participation of not just going, critiquing what I don't like, critiquing what I wish was different, but to begin to pray differently about our role in this participation, our role in this thing that God is shaping and forming for the sake of his mission. It'll take all of us kind of leaning in and going, hey, here's my voice, here's my gift, here's what I can bring to the table, here's where I can engage, here's what God in his strength and his power by his Spirit is calling me into. If we go beyond their critique and say, I'm going to lean in anyway, and I'm going to use my voice and my presence to grow this, to shape this, guess what? We'll see God do incredible things in our midst. So would you stand with me this morning? Would we be reminded today and this week of how the gospel has become accessible to us, and with great gratitude, thanksgiving, express that where it makes sense? Would we this week consider those in our circles where the gospel needs to become more accessible through us, and ask the Lord to begin in the place of praying by name for those men and women and those children and those students? And when we ask the Lord to give us perspective on this place and these people, in process, imperfect, yet dearly beloved by a good and faithful God, we are your bride. You will not give up on us. May we not either. We ask these things in your beautiful name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.